Welcome to Inside Central Oregon, a weekly public affairs program from Horizon Broadcasting Group. The opinions expressed on this program are from our guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station.
Hi, good morning. It's Dave Clemens. In studio with me, I have Cheryl Chickie. She's the executive director of In Our Backyard. And we have training specialist Masayo Halpin here as well. And what face is that?
I was listening to you.
Oh, I felt like you made a face.
I totally made a face.
And just so you know, I'm keeping
my chair.
This,
my chair creaked.
I'm keeping this in the interview.
Yeah.
Because I want people to know about this extraordinary rapport that we have.
Yeah. Well,
and
I'm supposed to be quiet, and my chair went burnt.
Is that
so
what
I
happened?
Made a face. Yes.
Okay.
You caught me. Sorry.
Okay. I thought it was because of me. This is our finally getting around to our Super Bowl report that we do every year, because that's like a big deal for you guys.
It's a huge deal.
Now, explain this to me, how this little organization in Bend, Oregon is going to the Super Bowl every year to catch the bad guys.
Well, I don't have tickets, so if there's anyone listening who has a ticket hookup, we're still interested in that idea. But no, we really rally together. We have about 50 volunteers. Some are virtual. Some are coming alongside with us. And we go to whatever city is hosting that the biggest game of the year. But it takes about a year for us to find partners, the law enforcement who's in charge. When you think of these big events, you know, they need security, right? Whether it's anti-terrorism or violence. But there's also a part that's really focused on combating human trafficking. So we rally the community. We have a huge event. We do a missing children's search. It's one of the biggest of the year that we do to help say that, you know, what kids are at risk of trafficking in the United States. And obviously kids who are in need or, you know, whatever they're going through that would have them not be in a safe place. They might be a runaway. So we're going to help the public identify them and rally an event around that. And at the opposite end of that, for 10 days leading up to the game, we're with law enforcement, active law enforcement, volunteers, civilians, nonprofit agencies, advocates, survivor leaders. And we're actually in an intelligence command post for communications, identifying situations of human trafficking that's happening in real time leading up to that game.
Now, is there more human trafficking going on at the Super Bowl than there is other events? Is it just because it's so huge?
It's huge.
This is happening?
Yeah, any event that's going to bring the attention of partying, spending money. You know, it is a lot of, you know, buyers of sex are male. So any of these types of events can increase, I would say, the risk, right, that human trafficking is going to be happening. It's happening anyway every single day, whether it's online or something you can see through an event. But the Super Bowl gives us an opportunity to really say, hey, folks, it's happening here. It's not a faraway country issue. It's happening here, and we can win this fight. That's what draws me, and I'm sure so many other of our volunteers and law enforcement, to say, A, did you know what happens in the United States? And B, did you know, like, we can kick butt and win this fight and help identify and recover people going through this?
How'd we do? Did we recover anybody? Did you?
Well, surely.
I mean, do you have any statistics on what happened this year?
Yeah. So our job is to not, you know, take over, right? So we partner with the local orgs who have a safe house, who have the resources that they need to offer. So what we do is we fill them in on really great information that's closed source, you know, through law enforcement. We have to get special permissions to see what we're seeing, what we're looking at, what we're listening to. And we make these little individual information packets. So we were able to provide 80 verified law enforcement leads for them to go out, find that person and get them. But what I can say is, you know, investigations for human trafficking can take a very long time, but we had 3 instant recoveries that were immediate through that week being there.
Wow.
One was a 20-year-old girl, and then we also had a recovery that was actually out of state, connected to a child that was about 13 years old.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, big stuff. I mean, we have to be out there. I always say, you know, we fight for the one, but someone has to be looking, right, for these kids. If some kid goes missing, you know, you might see parents on the news saying, my child's missing, but some of these kids don't have that situation. And that's where our passion, you know, wants to connect with others. Like, any child that's at risk where a trafficker is going to look for them faster than we do, that messes with me. I want to say, no, that's not true. Anytime a child goes missing, the last person I want to offer that child help or a resource is someone who's a predator, right?
Sure.
We want to be the ones out there saying the public's looking for you. Gas stations have your picture up. We're all looking for you. We don't want you to be at risk of trafficking ever. And then when we go on that intelligence side, we can do a deeper dive into situations that are more at risk and help get those kids out of that situation as fast as we can.
So successful, you would say, at the Super Bowl?
I'm, you know, this is our 16th Super Bowl. You know, every city is different, right? Everyone's landscape is a little different. So we always learn new things. And we always find new opportunities to grow our own knowledge on what kids are into, what apps they're using. You know, I think back in the day, it was more like a Craigslist is where you could finding a person you want to date, man looking for woman, right? Or massage. Now it's more app related, right? So it's cool to take on this initiative each year and really keep up with that pace of, you know, what are the bad guys up to, right? We want to be right there with them to help law enforcement learn these skills, not just for that one week at the game, but also once we leave. Like, we want to develop everyone's resources and intelligence to understand, like, you have to stay up to date in this world's technology to continue this fight and win.
You mentioned apps. What can parents do to keep their kids safe when it comes to using all these different apps that are out there?
Yeah, so with apps, you know, kids are smart. You know, I will say every year they get smarter. So whatever your rules are, I just say you have to have conversations on the expectations of what they have and do not have on a phone. I would say the most at-risk thing I hear are parents that try to disconnect a child from online completely. Usually there's an old device from one of their friends that they'll rehook up on Wi-Fi and sneak in for that kid to keep at their home or at school only.
They'll find a way
to get there. So really keeping that communication open of, do you know what to do when things go out of the direction you thought they were going to go? You know, kids are, you know, they're naive. No matter what they think they can get out of anything, who are they going to go to when they need help? Is it you as a parent? Do they know who at school to go to? Who can they actually trust? Because they do make mistakes. You know, we all made mistakes as kids. Just, I think there's a higher level of consequence that kids can face for the same mistakes we all made as kids. So which app it is, it doesn't really matter. Some of them are obvious, like if it's a dating app and, you know, why are we on a dating app? They have school, you know, things like that. But the social apps, those are hard. You know, I would say Snapchat's a huge one right now. They're going to use what they're already using. That's not the kid's fault, right? That's the predator and trafficker's fault.
Sure.
They're the ones that are the problem. And helping us have these tech companies understand how to watch that, report that. We're starting to see that in legislation where we're holding tech companies more accountable to not just allow child exploitation to happen and let the predators and those who want to harm know, you know, that, like, we see you and you can't just do whatever you want in plain sight.
Makes sense. You guys have other programs, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Masayo here. She's the training specialist for you guys, and talk about some of the local classes and such that you do here. And I also want to make sure that at some point we do talk about your initiative of getting these, what are they, little cards or whatever that you put in the gas stations?
Freedom stickers.
Stickers. So we'll talk about that right after the break.
Okay.
You're listening to Inside Central Oregon, a weekly public affairs program from Horizon Broadcasting Group.